May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 698. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? Hymn 698.
Thank you. Let us read together for our instruction two portions of God's word. The first is found in the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 1. The first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labour of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We will now turn to the first epistle general of John and read chapter 4. The first epistle general of John, chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. Merciful and gracious God, do help us to draw near unto thee, not in lip only, but also in heart, that we, Lord, may find our souls drawn out unto one who is able to hear and able to do for us those things wherein we are in need of, able to save a soul unto the uttermost, that ventures to come, and therefore in coming to the mercy seat, to the throne of grace, may we find help in our time of need. Lord, thou knowest whether we have come with a need, the need for sins to be forgiven, to be blotted out, the need to be kept from the love of sinning, the need to be preserved in the day of temptation, the need for thee to be to us what our soul requires, our food, our spiritual food and drink, the bread of life sent down from heaven, the living waters that spring up in the wells, in salvation's wells. that we, Lord, may come and thus find water to satiate our never-dying soul. Lord, we come therefore to hear the gospel, desiring that there may be some portion for us, some token for good, some word that may abide in our own hearts, a seed to fall upon the good ground, that there may be fruitfulness found in us. Oh, our barrenness, how we have to complain because how barren is my soul today. And then, O Lord, many questions are asked. If I have loved, why am I thus? Why this cold and lifeless frame? We almost fear that we've not known any beginning. And yet, O Lord, have we not continued to this day? And by what means? Dare we say that we have not receive that help of God? Have we not been sustained in the way when things have been rough and hard, and we so easily might fall, and yet we've been held up? And we would have to pray as one who said, "Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe." O Lord, if thou dost hold us on our way, then we shall go forth, even though it may be step by step. And we would not, Lord, be presumptuous, but rather may it go softly, as Jacob did of old, because there are those things which are needing much care. And as with Jacob, the little ones, and the one that would bear, that are carried in child, carrying that child which, again, it needed much care. As it was, therefore, in the providential path of Jacob, so may it not be an ill path spiritually. Lord, we carry many burdens. Thou knowest our cares. We would cast them upon thee. And yet sometimes thou dost lay these things upon us so that we may have to ponder our feet. And yet faith to look up and to look out to thee. And so, Lord, we find that the only way of moving along is to lean. Oh, that we may therefore come up from this wilderness, this sin-cursed wilderness, leaning upon our Beloved. Be that Beloved to us. Oh, draw us, Lord, with the cords of a man, with the bands of love. Do grant that we may run in the way of thy commandments, when thou dost enlarge our heart, when thou, Lord, dost constrain us with that holy love. We do pray that there may be that constraining. Oh, how backward we are otherwise. Lord, we pray that thou wilt be mindful of thy people here, We would commend them to thee in all their varied situations, trials and troubles. Best known to thee, we may not know anything, or at best only a little. And yet, Lord, we will not seek to pry into those things, but be content to know that thou knowest all things. We would desire, O Lord, nonetheless, that thou wouldst so guide the minds of those that hear, to thus pray unto thee, seeking that they may receive those answers of peace through the word of the ministry, and that one's mind may be directed to speak those things which may be for the good of thy people, whether it be a word of instruction in righteousness, or a word of correction or rebuke, a chastening word, whether it be a word of consolation and comfort, whether, Lord, it should be a word of instruction, direction. Lord, thou knowest what is most needed in the cases of each one. But, Lord, thou knowest how insufficient we are for these things, but oh, to prove that our sufficiency is of God. We pray that thou wilt be mindful of this company and those not able to gather on this occasion. There are the children and the parents, those that fulfilling their parental responsibilities, putting perhaps their children to bed. Lord, we would commend them to thee. And may there be lessons learnt even from the young, as we may see them sometimes in their simplicity, observing or making or saying words that may have a deeper significance to the one that hears. For it is as recorded, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained praise. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant thy mercies to those that are in much affliction and age, and therefore are not able to come on that account. And as they come down to their last days, may what we have sung be laid upon them, and that it may be a great concern, and they pause and ask the question, whether they are ready to meet God. But rather they may also ask, and who can make us ready? All the preparation that man may try to make to prepare his soul for eternity will be vain. But the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue cometh from the Lord. So, Lord, may it be that faith is given to cast each into thy gracious hands, and to plead, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. We do pray that thou wilt be gracious, Lord, unto those that bear office. Do help them, particularly when they have to take a service, they're not being one of thy servants to minister. Do guide them to the portions to be read, and the sermon may be to be set before the people. Lord, we do pray that much help may be given, and also in the material matters of the church, do give them much wisdom, and may there be that unity of spirit, the working together in love. We do, Lord, pray that there will be mindful of Zion at large. We live in sad and solemn days. We do not know what we may have to face. We would thank thee that we still have the privilege of being able to gather without hindrance. We would also, Lord, thank thee that by and large we still enjoy those liberties. But Lord, we sometimes tremble as we see there are things that could greatly affect thy people in the workplace. And maybe even does at this time, thou knowest. Lord, we pray that there would appear. Do put a hedge about thine own dear people. Spare them, Lord, from the evil ones seeking to destroy, if they could. Lord, may it be that thou art, that thou mayest be their defence, thy people's defence, in the day of opposition, persecution, and much trouble. We do, Lord, pray that thou would be particularly with thy own servants, who minister in the word, make them faithful. And help them, Lord, to discharge their duties and office, which may be consistent with a godly profession. And Lord, we pray that thou would help us to speak of those things that we have handled and tasted of the word of life, those things as touching the King. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. We would bear before thee our sinful land. We would pray for our leaders. We would see that they may have their eyes opened and be given wisdom. The wisdom which will guide the people into things that are right. And to deal with those that oppose the truth. We pray, Lord, that thou would maintain the work of those that seek to stand against the rising tides of evil and immorality and violence and much besides. Do have mercy upon our sovereign Queen. Preserve and keep her, we pray. And may it be thy good pleasure to maintain her even in her old age, and that she may continue to fulfill her duties and be spared to us yet for a little season. So do hear us in these things. And now, Lord, send help from the sanctuary. Be all that we need. Make up in giving where we fail in asking. And pardon us of every sin. We would ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us sing hymn 719. Come, ye Christians, sing the praises of your condescending God. Come and hymn the holy Jesus who has washed us in his blood. We are poor and weak and silly, and to every evil prone. Yet our Jesus loves us freely and receives us for his own. Hymn 719.
Thank you.
as the Lord may be pleased to help me. I'll direct your attention to the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, and read in verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Or margin reading, patience of Christ. The Epistle of Paul, second Epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 3 and verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. The child of God is ever learning. How we need to be taught, and how we need that readiness to learn. There is much to learn in Christ's school, far more than there is in the school of the world. Men may fill their minds with many things that concern their own lives and the things of this earth and of this life. But if we are directed into the things of God, then it will be for eternity, and it will be an eternity that we learn about. It will be an ocean of glorious truth. It will be an ocean of free and sovereign love. These Thessalonians, by the way that the apostle addresses them, they had known something of the great work of God in their souls. They know that work of patience. They know the labour of love. They know that work of faith and of hope in their souls. And they had experienced the blessed truths of election and of those things of the gospel. They know the Spirit's work, that it had not been in word only, but by the power of the Spirit, as it had been ministered and come expressly into their souls. There had been divine application. They were not ignorant of the Word of God, neither were they ignorant of the love of God. Yet the Apostle would address them in this way. And the Lord direct your hearts, guide your hearts into the love of God. There is a fullness which we cannot fathom of the love of God. And therefore we need to be continually guided into that love. When Ezekiel had that vision of the river that came forth from by the altar and went forth from the threshold of the house, he first of all was taken into it to the ankles. So was his learning then of that great stream, that great river of love and mercy. Then to the ankle, and then to the knees, and then to the loins, and finally, waters to swim in. And when he swam in those waters, he could not feel the bottom. Such was the love of God realized by the prophet. And what is realized by you and me. Sometimes it may be a searching question. As we mentioned in our prayer, if I loved, why am I thus? Why this cold and lifeless frame? Hardly sure could it be worse if I never loved his name. So you may say amen to this this word of desire of the prophet, of the apostle. And may we say our desire for you, that you be directed, your hearts directed into the love of God. If we are to be directed into the love of God, we shall prove it is by contrast. We learn things often by the opposites. We realize how or what light is when we have come out of darkness. To be familiar with a thing will often not lead us into the fullness of the reality of it. But to come into it, having come through that experience of the opposite, so to speak, we come to realize that with greater significance what the matter is that we are being taught. And it is so particularly in the things of God. How shall we know the love of God or the mercy of God unless we are brought to know our own sinful nature, brought to know what we deserve because of our sin, brought to know the awful evidences of hell which may smoke in our nostrils, a fearful stench, then we may know what we must face unless through sovereign grace, we are delivered. When we are brought, therefore, to know what we deserve and the wretchedness of our condition, that we are altogether filthy, that we are vile before a holy and a heart-searching God, who may indeed be consumed in a moment, so is our desert. But we are not consumed. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Ah, then, what is this mercy? This mercy which is shown unto a poor, unworthy sinner. Well, love and mercy. Mercy is that which is a part, as it were, of what love is. Love, if we shall consider it in its purity, and who can, may then look to God and see that there is the purity of love. What love there is between Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three persons in one glorious Godhead. God is love. Can we plumb those depths? It is impossible for us to know the purity of that love, except we might know something of a love of the Father as a Father to us, who looks upon us in and through his own dear beloved Son, and deals with us as a father may deal with his children. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. We may indeed know something of the love of the Son, in that he took flesh, our flesh, and dwelt among us. To know the Emmanuel, God with us, and the love that brought him down, that indeed is to be led, directed into the love of God. The love of the Father that sent his only begotten Son, that we through him might believe. And the love of the Spirit, who affectionately takes of those things of Jesus Christ to reveal them unto a poor, unworthy sinner, and to bring life and power, to recreate, as it were, to bring that birth, that we may be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. The word that the Spirit may bring into our own souls, as a living seed that falls into good ground. It is the Spirit that directs the word to bring it to our hearts, so that we might believe. And in believing, we can see the love of God and cry out, why me? Why me, O blessed God? Why such a wretch as me, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? Well, it is this love, this condescending love, that becomes a reality unto a soul which knows it does not deserve the least favour, and yet the merciful love of God is shed abroad in their hearts. And shed abroad in their hearts because God would love them. Why should he love Jacob? And yet it be said that he hated Esau. Jacob was in the covenant. Jacob's name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It was written with blood. Jacob's name was there to be inscribed upon the very heart of the Redeemer. It was for such a one that he came, our Lord and Saviour, to save. All his Jacobs, therefore he can say, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Ah, this then is to direct your heart into the love of God. When you are brought into those depths and felt sense of your unworthiness and wretchedness, but you see one who is worthy by faith, you can only view it by faith, but faith brings you to see and believe that God sent his only beloved Son, and to testify of it, knowing that this is love. Herein is love, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends. Oh, what love then did bring the Saviour down, that he should leave those realms above and condescend to take flesh, in which he would know the greatest agonies, the most fearful suffering, not only of body but also of mind and of soul, that he made his soul an offering for sin. Who can tell what his sufferings were? But as we may there be brought by faith to the cross, and we see a little of what he suffered, those wounds that sin has made are to be directed therefore into the love of God. And at such a time in your experience, when you're brought to the lowest point, when you may perhaps fear that there is no hope for you, and yet here you may see that he has died for the worst of sinners. If such as David should fall into such iniquity and receive mercy, if such as Manasseh, who had lived his life in reckless idolatry and evil, could then be brought to the feet of his God. If a Mary Magdalene, in whom there were seven devils, may indeed come and seek her Lord and find that he is risen. If an apostle or Saul of Tarsus, should I first call him, the apostle Paul, who persecuted the church, may obtain mercy, then is there not hope for a vile soul as you? But it's here that you learn of what the love of God is. If we were perfect, what would we know of condescending love? What would we know of dying love? Would one need to die for one who had no sin? The Pharisee may think himself to be holy. He may say, as the Pharisee did in his prayer, "I thank God I'm not as other men are." Have you said that? Or have you thought it? Or have you believed that you are better than another? Or you're not as bad as some? Let the Holy Spirit teach you exactly what you are. You will find that there is not one in the earth that can be worse than you. Now brought to know yourself as the chief of sinners, but this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Well then, you'll understand what I mean when I say that we will be directed, our hearts directed into the love of God by this contrast. What are our deserts? Death and hell. What does love bring? Life and heaven. What are our deserts? Suffering and turmoil. What does love bring but healing and peace? These things then to be directed more and more into that we may then have a sweet confidence, not in ourselves, nor yet in the power of our faith, though faith is given, a precious gift of God. If we possess faith, it looks alone to Christ, to God, and he gives him all the glory. Ah, then, that our hearts may be raised to praise the love of God, to praise the one who has done such great things. Now let me bring it to you personally. What has the Lord done for you? You might say, well, he has brought me to tremble at his word. That's a good beginning. That's a good beginning. He's brought me to fear his name. Ah, that is a good beginning. He has made me to know what a broken heart is. You know that the breaker, he breaks the heart because he does it in love. Do you know that the breaker breaks the heart that he may bind it up and make it whole? Do you know that he breaks the heart that stone may then all be brought to a dust, that then it may receive the softening showers of the pure and true doctrine of God, which falls as the rain and distills as the dew? It is the fallow ground that needs to be broken up, and all those clods to be made into fine tilth, to receive the word that it may fall into good ground, and all that done in love. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Ah, then, to know that love of God as it is unto sinners, and as it may be to you, the chiefest of sinners. And if there is this love of God, then may he direct your hearts into the love which is to be born unto one another. If he has so loved us, then ought we not to love one another? This is a proof as to how much of the love of God we know. Because if we should hate our brother, then the love of God is not in us. That is the first thing. If we should despise our brother, then we are ignorant of what we are. If we should not seek one another's good, then we may question whether we know what the good is that comes from God. For if we have received good from his hand, then shall we not desire it for the brethren, desire it for those who we see perhaps limping along in a profession, not knowing how to take a further step? And what will it bring you to? Out of love, to commend such into the hands of God, to pray for his or her soul, knowing that you need prayer much for your soul. And it is a great mercy when there is this unity of a mind found in the church, that we bear one another's burdens, that we bear up one another unto Christ, It is a great mercy when we do not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly, considering the brethren. But has a brother offended? Or have we offended a brother? Shall we come to the altar as the Lord speaks with our gift and think that we can pass over what we have been to one of the Lord's little ones, one of the Lord's servants, one of the Lord's officers? You know, dear friends, the Lord direct you into the love of God. The love of Christ is seen in this. A simple word that our Lord spake. He spake it to the Pharisee, who had called him to feast in his house. And there was a woman that came with an alabaster box of ointment, and brake the box of ointment, poured it upon the head of our Lord and Saviour, washed his feet with her tears. She showed true contrition, godly sorrow. She showed affection unto the one who had forgiven her so much. She showed a humility in their coming to his feet. But the ointment, this precious ointment, it is of much expense. Surely it should have been sold, given to the poor. Well, it sounds good, doesn't it? You find the old nature will always have an excuse to bring an accusation against the people of God. And our Lord said to Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And spoke of the one who had two debtors. One owed 500 pence, the other 50 pence. And who do you suppose would love him most? Well, the Pharisee had to answer, the one that owed him most. Now that is the love of God seen or set forth typically to the greatest of sinners. But now, is there one that owes you much? Not in money, although they may. They may perhaps have dealt with you in most shabby way, but let us remember what our Lord set forth. Who shall love him most? Are you a £500 debtor? Will you go out, as it was expressed in another part of the word, a similar situation? Similar parable? And take one by the throat and say, you owe me? You know what his Lord said when he heard, and what he did to him? Then he would suffer his just deserts. But you know, dear friends, there are two things. We need the grace of God in love to confess our sin. And to confess one to another our faults. And when we are able to do that, then the brother whom we have offended, moved by the same Spirit, able to freely forgive. It cannot be that one can forgive or be forgiven unless there is that mutual bringing together in a willingness to repent and a willingness to forgive. The Lord works a willingness to repent in the heart of the poor sinner who now is come seeking mercy, pleading that the Lord will not deal with him as his sins do deserve, pleading that the Lord will show him grace, will show him favour, pleading that the Lord will bring about a reprieve, give the king's pardon. And yes, the Lord freely pardons. You've sung of it in these words. We are poor and weak and silly, and to every evil prone, yet our Jesus loves us freely and receives us for his own. Need we ever fear to come to the throne of grace and confess our sin? You know what proud nature does? It tries to cover up. It tries to pretend that its deeds are not as bad as they really are. But if we are to be led into the love of Christ, then we must be brought to wholly confess all that we know of our sinful wretchedness. And we only know what we're shown. But the Lord is very merciful and gracious. He will teach us these things, little by little. It is that he may bring us along in life's pathway, as we are travelling home to God, in the paths that the saints have trod, those who also themselves were brought into these paths. And it is in seeing that, think of Jacob. Few and evil have been all the days of my life. Think of the brethren when they came to Joseph, fearing that Joseph would now deal with them in such a manner as they deserved, remembering their sins against him. But what does Joseph say? It's a sweet word that Joseph speaks unto them. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Has our heavenly Joseph spoken thus into our souls? Has he spoken these tokens of forgiveness? And has set before us what we may have meant, we meant it for evil, But God overrules in these things. Where pierced his side is true. The soldier pierced his side is true, but you have pierced him through and through. Ah, we have indeed, my dear friends. We have put him to grief. How many times have we grieved the spirit of promise? Dare you look back to count them up? How is it today? Are you suffering because of what you've been in your soul, in your mind? There you seem to sit in darkness. Darkness because you fear you have offended God to such a limit that you will suffer the reprisals of those things. But instead, shall the Lord look upon you as he did with Peter? Peter, there, denying his Lord, I know not the man. How different it had been when Peter had said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now to say, I know not the man. But Peter, I will teach you the love of God. I will teach it, first of all, by showing you that look, which will reveal the holiness of my love. Such is his holy love, to offend it. What then may we expect? But then, as Joseph Hart puts it in this quaint way, a second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. Peter, he went out, he wept bitterly. There was true contrition, godly sorrow, repentance. But Peter had to bear that, you know, until the Lord then would bring him to that point. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? More than these, because Peter had been the most forward in saying, I will go with thee even unto death. Not realizing what he was saying. Get behind me, Satan. Thou savest not of the things that be of God. You see, you meant it. Yes, sometimes we have thought we meant good, but it has been to the pain and sorrow of our Lord and Saviour, because we cannot do God's work. Peter thought he could. Have you thought you could? Have you thought you could bear some of the sorrow in the removing of your sins and the making of you whole? You know, we shall have to bear, but not to remove and cleanse away those sins. We cannot do that. But having known the preciousness of these things, knowing that now we feel that we experience the love of God from one who says this, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them. Oh, what comfort may come through the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Well, now, I must pass on. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, and particularly the love of Christ, our beloved. When the spouse had been touched and had received those kisses from his mouth, she pleaded them first. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for they are most sweet. How could she say it? She'd already known it. She needed now for him to come again. She needed those love tokens. She knew that his love was as ointment poured forth. She knew that on that account the virgins loved him, and she loved him too. But she was brought to view him, the altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. He who had willingly given his life for the 10,000 and much beside. Oh, then, how he was held in her affections. To think that, of all those that deserved an endless hell, he had not only died, but risen again, and had gone to prepare a place. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And now, not to receive you as those beggars, but as princes. For such I shall raise you to be kings and priests, as those that shall be around the throne to cast their crowns before the throne of God at my footstool. Those that will rejoice in the one offering that has been made in time for eternity. That there should be this blessing that will fill the realms of heaven itself. And a little view by faith, as we may see our condescending Lord who entered into these things, to know that love, drawn out from our hearts, we love him because he first loved us. This is the love that draws us to himself and brings us to adore him for what he is. Oh, his grace. Oh, the love that he shows. Oh, the humility that is seen. Oh, the meekness of his spirit. Oh, his patience. Oh, his goodness. His long suffering. And the fact that he has set before us a glorious prospect. Well, then we find the spouse, the church, and every individual member of the church rejoicing in the one who has loved us, who has saved us, who has saved us by the shedding of his precious blood. And this is to be directed into the love of Christ, of God, that precious shed blood that makes us nigh. Ye that were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Well, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, and into the patient waiting for Christ. You may have noticed that at the end of the chapter that we read in the first epistle, today's Thessalonians, he speaks of them in this way, that they show us what manner of entering in, that is, those that may minister to them, what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He that we may wait for to come to us in that experimental and real way, to know what he has done, will bring us then to wait with patience for his coming again, when we shall be no longer here, but with him, absent from the body, present with the Lord, for that time until he comes to gather us and to raise us up, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which remain shall be gathered up unto him in the air, and to be ever with the Lord. But my time is gone. But there is also this aspect, the patient waiting for Christ because of what Christ has done and for what Christ is and what Christ must still accomplish until the last vessel of mercy is brought and until he's gathered all unto himself. But there is also to be led into the patience of Christ. Now, who am I to say what is the best to be placed here? We're not questioning. We daren't question our translators. But often there is the margin reading given because there is more in what was in the original than can be conveyed by a simple sentence in our own language. May you ponder, therefore, there is a depth here when we not only consider the patient waiting, but also consider the patience of Christ himself. What patience he has towards his people in waiting. He waits to be gracious. He waits for their return. He waits for them that they may be made willing. Ah, you say, but we must be made willing by him, by his gracious spirit. That is true, but he waits. There is the time. There is the appointed moment. There is that the moment to bring us from nature's darkness into the glorious light. That moment when he will come to us when we're on our bended knees and there pouring out our heart before him and pleading for mercy, that he may bestow the riches of all his mercy upon us. It is the patient waiting for Christ and the patience of Christ. Ah, what patience he shows toward his people. What patience, though, he showed in enduring those things that were laid upon him. See, therefore, in all his sufferings, that patience of Christ. And now, we know that he underwent those things that he may redeem every son of his, every daughter of his, from their fallen state. And now, having suffered for them, He waits till they are brought, till they are made manifest. So there is much in this, the patient waiting for Christ and the patience of Christ. But I must leave the subject. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pickett on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 1011. My God, the spring of all my joys, the life of my delights, the glory of my brightest days and comfort of my nights. Hymn 1011.
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.